But first up on the Fourth Estate, the Fiji Times has had to replace its editor-in-chief, who quit after the sale of the 141-year-old paper. Australian publisher Dallas Swinstead has said editor-in-chief Netani Rika quit because of perceptions that he was anti-government. But the simultaneous sudden leave taken by the deputy editor has raised concerns surrounding the independence as well as the future of the paper itself. News Limited was recently forced to sell the Fiji Times after a national media decree dictated that Fiji's media outlets would be 90% owned by its government. It was bought by the Motobai group of companies for an undisclosed sum in September. For the State reporter Lauren Day spoke recently to Claire O'Rourke, the program manager at the International Federation of Journalists Asia Pacific office, about whether the editor-in-chief's resignation was in fact self-sacrifice or the result of government pressures.
Well, it's clear that given that the government has warmly greeted the departure of Netani, which is of great concern in itself, that the regime would take that step of actually congratulating a paper on someone moving on. I think it's safe to surmise that Netani was forced out of the paper. Netani Rika has been a courageous pioneer of press freedom and independent journalism in the face of some very difficult circumstances. And we see this latest development as another example of the Fiji military regime's intention on silencing independent journalism in Fiji.
The deputy editor, Sophie Foster, has also taken what's been described as sudden leave after Netani's resignation. Is this a sign of more trouble to come for the paper? Do you think we'll see more resignations of this kind? And what will this mean for media freedom in Fiji?
I think there are concerns for what will happen in the future for not only the journalists who are working at the Fiji Times now, but also for journalists that are coming up through the ranks at the Fiji Times and other publications in Fiji. If we've got a culture in Fiji of restriction and censorship that undermines press freedom and freedom of expression, what inevitably occurs in these situations is an environment of self-censorship that will develop, particularly when you have courageous individual characters becoming absent from those publications. So what is important and probably crucial is not only what's happening now in Fiji, but what stands to happen in Fiji. I think there would be some years of recovery if the path that the regime is on to restrict and silence the media continues.
You mentioned self-censorship. The new publisher, Dallas Swinstead, admitted recently on ABC Radio that he will censor himself if the paper's future's in jeopardy. Is it giving in, or is this really his only option to work within the rules of the regime and the media decree?
These are very difficult circumstances for journalists, and the IFJ certainly stands by journalists that are struggling with working in environments like Fiji, where it's just so hard for journalists to perform their duties, just to inform the public of what's going on in their communities. I don't think it's fair to label a journalist as giving up because of what happens in these particular circumstances. I think what needs to be acknowledged is that a better way to go in Fiji, that certainly the IFJ supports, is independent self-regulation of media, so that the industry can be regarded as professional, ethical and independent and self-ruled rather than ruled by the whim or particular preference of a government.
What can countries like Australia, as Fiji's closest neighbours, do to facilitate this kind of journalism and independent media?
Well, certainly I think there's broad support for the Fiji media community in Australia and New Zealand. The IFJ believes that all journalists working within the region and beyond that believe in the values of press freedom and freedom of expression and seek to uphold those rights would all have an interest in supporting independent, professional, ethical media in Fiji.
Do you have a sense of the kinds of conditions that journalists are working in at the moment under the media decree in Fiji?
The IFJ understands that journalists are working under very difficult circumstances in Fiji, and many of them are very reluctant to speak publicly about those circumstances. The decree places heavy penalties upon journalists, editors and publishers for breaching the terms of the decree, and we have seen in recent days that some people are already feeling the full force of the knock-on effects of that decree. The Fiji military regime needs to acknowledge that the decree is restrictive of the public's right to know what is going on in their communities, and there will be little confidence in the ability of the media to fully inform citizens while this decree is in place.
Claire O'Rourke from the International Federation of Journalists Asia Pacific, ending that report from Lauren Day. And in fact, the former editor-in-chief, Netani Rika, has recently announced he will write his account of life as a working journalist under this government regime at Canberra's Australian National University. And still to come on the show, why doing the robot could in fact enhance your perception.